A happy Friday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. We got an awesome show for you guys today. So much to talk about. Conference Championship Week in college football starts tonight. We'll give out the PGA Pick 5. Awesome Week 14 slate in the NFL that we will dive into, give out some of my favorite plays there. We got a great college basketball slate coming up tomorrow. Give a couple thoughts, talk about some of my favorite NFL player props coming up for the weekend as well. And then two great guests, Henry Ettinger, going to join us here in moments. Then we got Shane Thurston coming up later on in the show as well. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys want to talk about, let us know at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Friday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line to check in with Henry Ettinger. Follow Henry on X, on TikTok, and on Instagram at @hedging_Henry as well. Great gambling content. Can check him out for college football, NFL, and NBA as well. We're going to pick Henry's brain on all three of those things. Henry, let's start with college football championship week. We got four games going on today. Group of five matchups. We got the American Championship, Conference USA. We got the Mountain West title game. Anything that you're playing tonight in college football?
I did not play this because I have a ticket on North Texas to win the AAC, but I actually like Tulane in the game. I am worried about North Texas's defense here. Look, they have been a much improved unit under new defensive coordinator Skylar Cassidy, but I don't think the matchup suits them all that well. I think Tulane actually might be able to run the football here a little bit as well. The one problem is Jake Retzlaff, the Tulane quarterback, can be a little turnover happy, which North Texas has capitalized a lot on this year. But I actually think this game should be closer to a pick'em because I have a 15-1 North Texas ticket. I'm going to let that ride at a pick'em. But yeah, especially if a three comes back, I would take that. But even at 2.5, I think Tulane's live here to just win this game outright.
We know the winner of that game is going to the playoff, Henry. As just like a college football fan, we don't know the matchups yet, but which of those teams you think would give up a better fight in the playoff? You think it'd be North Texas or Tulane if you had to guess?
I think it would be Tulane as well, to be honest, just because North Texas, their offense is elite, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're number one scoring offense in the country. But when they step up in class, I think that offense would struggle a lot more. And once again, I just don't trust their defense. They don't profile much as an underdog type of team, which they would surely be in the college football playoff. So again, even though I like North Texas, I've had them, you know, slightly above Tulane for most of the year in terms of power rating. They don't strike me as a team that could really make a lot of noise in a college football playoff game. But frankly, neither team does. So, you know, it really wouldn't be much of a difference one way or the other.
So again, winner of that game tonight will go to the playoff. Loser will be out, and they'll play in a decent bowl game somewhere. SEC championship game, both of those teams should be in the playoffs. We know Georgia definitely is. Alabama, even with the loss, certainly a respectable loss, probably will still get in to the field of 12. But what are you playing for the game on Saturday in Atlanta, Henry, with Georgia favored by 2.5 and the total about 47, 48.5?
By far my favorite bet of the weekend, PJ. I like Georgia on the money line. I took them at -120 on open. I think anything, you know, -140 or better is worth a look for, you know, a multi-unit play, or you could, you know, start looking at, you know, the two and a half maybe. It's getting a little expensive there, but look, number one, of course, there's the narrative angle, right? This is a revenge spot for Georgia. They've struggled with Alabama over the years, but you know, now it's Kalen DeBoer at the helm, not Nick Saban. So you've got that piece. I also just think matchup-wise, we saw this. Georgia dominated the second half in particular versus Alabama last time out. Kalen DeBoer is a great game planner, but ultimately in-game adjustments from Kirby Smart have been the difference for Georgia all year. I think they will be again. Georgia should be able to run the football here, I think, consistently. And neither of these teams generate much of a pass rush, but you just, Alabama doesn't look right. Ryan Williams doesn't look right. Ty Simpson doesn't look right. They got outplayed by Auburn last week. So I like Georgia here. I think they should be laying at least a field goal.
Yeah, Kirby Smart 1-7 against Alabama, but the one win he did have was when he saw them for the second time in that same season in the national championship game back in 2021. Henry, this might be a preview of the national title game. Number one versus number two in Indy Saturday night, Indiana and Ohio State. The sharps, the pros, have been showing a lot of love for Indiana. This opened about 5.5. We're down to 4 now here on BetMGM. Total is 48.5 in this game. You like the Buckeyes or Indiana if you had to make a play?
If I had to, I'd actually disagree with the sharp movement here. I upgraded Ohio State after last week, and I downgraded Indiana a little bit over the last couple of weeks, more 2 weeks ago than this week. But I have some concerns about how Fernando Mendoza has looked the last few weeks. That the Indiana passing attack has not been that dynamic. And so I'm a little worried about that, number one. And then from the Ohio State perspective, the reason I upgraded them is I actually upgraded them because of their rushing offense. They've been in the 50s in terms of EPA rushing-wise all year. They have hammered teams on the ground the last couple weeks. Most of those teams weren't good rushing defenses. Michigan was. And so I think I have to start believing in this run game a little bit from Ohio State. The one problem I have had with capping Ohio State over the last couple weeks is they have played incredibly slowly this season. They are the slowest team in the country. They did this last year too, and then they ramped it up once they got to the college football playoff. I've been waiting, wondering when they might push that pace button up a little bit, and I don't know if it's going to be in this game or not. So I actually think it's a better look live. If you see Ohio State start to go a little bit faster, or if Indiana gets out to an early lead and they start to pick up the pace a little bit, that's when I'd start looking at the Buckeyes, you know, either them, you know, against the spread, or if you can get some sort of team total live. That's really what I'm watching out for with them over, you know, this game and the early playoff games as well.
Talking college football with our guy Henry Ettinger here on Send It In. Give Henry a follow on X at @Hedging_Henry. Let's move forward to the NFL. Week 14. Awesome slate coming up on Sunday. Really good Monday night football game as well between the Eagles and the Chargers. Henry, we got 3 big-time divisional matchups, all with huge playoff implications, all with first place on the line. Ravens-Steelers, Colts-Jags, and Packers-Bears. Any of those 3 games, do you have any plays that you like for Sunday?
I've got to play in all 3, PJ.
Love it.
I love the board this week. Let's start Steelers-Ravens. I like the under here. Pretty simple. You know, Aaron Rodgers does not look right. He was taking snaps out of the pistol last week. This is not what you want to do as a team. It makes you much more predictable. I do not like when teams do this. The Falcons do this a lot. I won't go into a whole rant on it, but essentially I think it makes your offense a lot more limited. The Steelers lack explosiveness already anyway on the offensive side of the ball. On the other side, Lamar Jackson does not look healthy. I mean, his scramble rates are really high, but they're not calling any designed runs for him, and he's not actually gaining yards when he scrambles. So to me, that's a major problem as well. So I like under there. Next one, Jags-Colts. I like the Jags here at home. They have been a much better team at home, first of all. Daniel Jones clearly is hampered by his leg injury. And also, if you go back and look at that Colts early season schedule where they had so much success, at this point we know they were just facing a really weak schedule of opposing teams. And ultimately, I think, you know, they've just come back crashing to earth here. I actually make the Jags a slight favorite in this game. So I really like both of those plays as well. And then finally, what was the last one here?
Packers-Bears.
Oh, Packers-Bears. And I have the Packers as well in this game. Look, the Bears have been one of the luckiest teams in the NFL. The Packers seem to have figured out their offensive issues without Tucker Kraft. So I laid 5.5 with the Packers early in the week. If you can get a 6, I would do that. Unfortunately, you know, as this number's moved up, it's lost a little bit of value. But yeah, if any of those numbers show up, I like the Packers too.
All right, there you go. Packers, Jags, Ravens, Steelers, unders for Henry. Some of the big games on Sunday. What about the primetime matchups that we have, Henry? Might be a playoff game between the Texans and the Chiefs, certainly for Kansas City. They lose that game, they're pretty much cooked. And then Monday night, 2 teams that need a win but are trending in the wrong direction, Philadelphia and LA. Did you have any plays in the Sunday or Monday night game?
I'm staying away from Texans-Chiefs for now. Let's see how those injury reports play out, particularly with the Chiefs' offensive line. It's almost a buy low spot on the Chiefs, but unfortunately for them, this is not a good matchup. If the Texans defense has a weakness, that's running the football. The Chiefs don't do that. You really can't attack their outside corner. So yeah, I'm just staying away from that game. The under's already been hit too hard for me. I do like the Chargers as a teaser piece. And I specifically like them with the Jets. I think those two are very attractive just because this Philadelphia offense is broken. I've been saying it for weeks. I bet the Philly under win total. I don't trust this team to get margin at all. And it reminds me a lot of two seasons ago. I just don't see how it's getting better. I'm not in love with this Chargers team. I don't want to play the spread here necessarily just because, you know, this Chargers team has faced a really weak schedule themselves. But I trust Justin Herbert, even with the hand injury, to keep this one close. And I don't trust Philly at all to get margin.
Love it. Henry, got about a minute left. Some closing thoughts on the NBA slate tonight, which is also a pretty good one. Any props that you like for the slate?
Love Tyrese Maxey over points plus assists. We saw him take on the Bucks without Giannis once already and without Joel Embiid, who I assume will sit here. And he had 54 in that game, points alone. He had 63 points plus assists. So that one is by far my favorite bet of the night. He just got announced out, LeBron, so that I'm losing a bet as we speak here live. But I'll give you another one, which is I like Colin Gillespie over 24.5 PRA. It's a brutal matchup, but without Devin Booker, I think Amen Thompson will match up with Dylan Brooks. Grayson Allen should still be relatively limited coming back from a quad injury himself. Colin Gillespie's really emerged for the Suns as a nice piece this year, so over 24.5 PRA.
Love it. Henry Ettinger, always great stuff in the NBA, college football, and the NFL. Give him a follow on X, on TikTok, and on Instagram, at @Hedging_Henry. Henry, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the weekend. Good luck on all your bets, and we'll talk again next Friday.
All right. Thanks, BJ.
Yep, great stuff there, Henry Ettinger. Let's keep it rolling on Send It In, and let's dive in to the PJ Pick 5. We will start with college football, my five favorite bets for championship weekend. One going off tonight, and then four that we have coming up tomorrow. We'll start, and it's been my favorite play all week. I love the Kennesaw State Owls -2.5 against Jacksonville State. Unbelievable year for Kennesaw State. First year in FBS football, they lost one conference game this season, and that game was to Jacksonville State on the road. They get to go back to the scene of the crime where they had their only loss in conference play this season. They lost the turnover battle 4-0 in that game, throwing four interceptions. They're the better team. They take care of the football tonight. They're going to win. They're going to cover the spread. We'll take Kennesaw State in Conference USA Championship -2.5. In the ACC title game, give me Duke +4.5 against Virginia. Everybody is wondering why this line is as short as it is, why Virginia's only favored by 4.5. Duke has been a team this season. You don't want to bet them when they're a favorite, but you want to bet them when they're an underdog. Going back and look at all of five Duke's losses this season, three of them have been when they have been a favorite, including this Virginia team, and the other two were against Tulane and Illinois when they were short underdogs, but the line, the sharps were all on them. The line was telling you to take Duke. When the line tells you to take Duke or they're a favorite, you don't bet Duke. But in games like this, when they're an underdog and nobody likes them, that's when you bet them. You guys know I love me a good narrative, right? If Duke wins this game, James Madison likely in the college football playoff, Duke helping the Dukes of JMU go to the playoff. We'll take Duke +4.5 against UVA. SEC title game, I'm taking the over 47.5 in Bama and Georgia. There's something about this matchup. When these two teams get together, we usually see fireworks. And whether it's been Jalen Milroe or whether it's been Jalen Hurts or Bryce Young or Mac Jones, when an Alabama quarterback goes up against Georgia, he tends to play pretty well. Now, Ty Simpson had a really good first half against Georgia in Athens. They got shut out in the second half, really didn't do much. That's kind of been the story of Bama's season. They've got off to some nice starts, but their second half offense has really, really struggled. Feels like you look at this game, both and Georgia's offense and defense both have been better since the last time these two teams have played. While Bama's defense has gotten better, but the offense has struggled, I think Bama's offense, maybe a little resurrection in this game, will take over 47.5. Give me Miami of Ohio in the MAC title game +2.5 against Western Michigan. It's actually gone down now to +1.5. I still like the Redhawks. I think they win the game against Western Michigan. The Broncos have been the best team in the MAC this season. They beat Miami of Ohio head-to-head the first time around, yet here we are, neutral field. The game's going to be played in Detroit at Ford Field, and they're only a 1.5-point favorite. Feels a little fishy to me. Chuck Martin's still one of the best in the business coaching in the MAC. He's been there for 13 years. When they started the season, they were so ravaged by the transfer portal and these group of four teams poaching all their players. They didn't have a single returning starter on their offense, and now look at them. They're in the MAC title game. They're playing as well as anybody in that league. I'll take Miami of Ohio, +2.5. And then finally, give me Indiana, +0.5 in the first quarter against Ohio State. I've been trying to figure out all week how to play this game. What's the angle? I think because Indiana, I feel like, has had 3 weeks to prep for this game. They had a bye week 3 weeks ago. They played Purdue last week as a 30-point favorite, and now they get to play Ohio State. So I think Indiana's been waiting for this game for Ohio State, and maybe a little bit of an emotional letdown for Ohio State after playing Michigan, finally slaying that dragon. What's that going to look like? I'll take the Hoosiers, +0.5 against Ohio State. Then we have, let's go to the PJ Pick 5 now in the NFL and look at some of my favorite bets that we have there. The Seahawks and the Jags. I like that in a teaser. Teasing Seattle down to -1, teasing the Jags up to +7.5. I've told you guys, I think the Jags +7.5 is one of the best teaser legs that I've seen all year because the Colts are struggling, the Jags play everybody close, and Indy has lost 10 straight games in Jacksonville. They haven't won there since 2014. You figure a game this big, both teams 8-4, battling for first place in the AFC South. If the Colts were to win, I don't think it's going to be by more than 7. So I like the Jags in a teaser, and I like the Seahawks as well, teasing them down to -1. I just don't know how Kirk Cousins is going to move the ball on that Seattle defense. I just don't know. We have talked about nauseam on this show. We talk about it every week, how great the Seattle Seahawks are on the road, how great they've been under Mike McDonald. Don't know if I want to lay the 7.5 with the Seahawks, but I'll gladly take the 1 in a teaser with Jacksonville, +7.5. I do like the Raiders this week, +7.5 against the Broncos. Denver has won 4 straight games by 3 points or fewer. They're playing everybody close right now. They're coming off a game against Washington where their defense was on the field for 85 plays. They had to play an OT game. Look at Denver's 4 remaining games after this one. Jacksonville, Green Bay, Chargers, Chiefs. Monster games. Big game after big game. And all they have before that is a road trip to Vegas to take on one of the worst teams in the NFL. This could be a trap game for the Broncos. I like Raiders, +7.5. Packers, Bears, I'm going under 44.5 in that game at Lambeau. Divisional game in December, in the cold, in the frozen tundra. Going to be tough to move the football. Caleb Williams' passing yardage total in this game is 194.5, which kind of tells you how inept at times the Bears' passing offense has been, and also how good that Packers defense is, especially at home. Bears want to run the football. They want to lean on their offensive line. They want to control the line of scrimmage, limit the turnovers. And the Packers offense as of late, especially at home, not been very good. Look at the last couple games against the Eagles and against the Panthers as well. I'm taking under 44.5 in that game. I'll take the Buffalo Bills -5.5 against the Bengals. Now, the Bills have been a tricky team to bet this season because of how up and down they've been. It feels like when they play well and you're ready to buy in, that's when they play bad. When they play bad and you think that, oh, maybe they're going to go on a little bit of a dry spell, they play well again. Coming off a good game against the Steelers, but it's more so I want to fade Cincinnati. Joe Burrow comes back. They beat the Ravens on Thanksgiving night. The whole world watches it. And now all of a sudden people think maybe the Bengals can win the division and make the playoffs. Was that game more about the Bengals, though, or was it more about the fact that the Ravens had 5 turnovers against one of the worst defenses in league history? Tend to think it was the latter. Buffalo, if they just run the football and play decent defense, they should win this game by more than a touchdown. I like the Bills -5.5. And then finally, give me the Chargers +2.5 against the Eagles. I think we've seen it the last 2 or 3 years with the Eagles. When they're running hot and they're in rhythm and they're playing good football, they just don't lose. On the flip side, when the Eagles are struggling and things start to pile up and the locker room starts to come into question a little bit, they start to spiral. That offense isn't getting fixed anytime soon. They are a mess. They got injuries to their offensive line. I'll take the Chargers +2.5 against Philly. All right, some of my favorite NFL player props that I have for this weekend before we check in with our guy Shane Thurston. Derrick Henry over 19.5 rushing attempts against the Steelers. It's pretty simple for the Ravens, man. And I say this a lot, but it better be pretty simple for them on Sunday. Derrick Henry only got 10 carries against the Bengals. That's unacceptable. Let's hope they were saving him for this game against the Steelers, because when they used him in the playoff game last year against Pittsburgh, they dominated and they didn't turn the ball over. I hope they use that same game plan again. The Bills just ran for the most rushing yards ever, at a Steelers home game at Acrisure Stadium. That's the formula. Run the king. I think they do that. Over 19 half rushing attempts for Derrick Henry. Kirk Cousins to throw an interception is minus 135. I'd lay the juice against that Seattle defense. It just feels like a disaster waiting to happen. Caleb Williams, I'll take his over rushing yards, 19 and a half. Shout out to our guy, Shawnee Sharp, who gave out this play yesterday. I'm going to tail him on this. Before the game last week against Philly, Caleb actually had 20 rushing yards in his last five games. So he's gone over this in five of his last six. He tends to run in these type of games. And with how good that Packers pass rush is, I think Caleb's going to be on the move. So I'll take his over rushing yards against Green Bay. Harrison Bucker, I'll go over 1.5 field goals for him against the Texans. That Houston defense, as we all know, is really good. They're really tough to score on, really hard to score touchdowns against. And Kansas City's red zone offense is just not what we're used to seeing. So I'll take Bucker over 1.5 field goals. And then Josh Allen over 1.5 passing touchdowns is minus 118. Again, probably going to be a heavy run game plan for the Bills, but that price for me, Josh Allen, two or more passing touchdowns against that defense at minus 118, too good to pass up. So I'll go Allen over passing touchdowns as well. All right, let's check in now with our guy Shane Thurston, web content writer for BetMGM. Give Shane a follow on X at ShaneThurston25. Shane, let's start with our boys, the Ravens. They got a big one on Sunday against the Steelers. Baltimore is a 5.5-point favorite. Total is 42.5. How would you play Ravens and Steelers on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel. You know, first time in a few weeks that we've talked and you're asking about the Ravens right now. But, you know, I agree. I don't know how you can trust either of these teams. The Steelers have lost three of the last four. The Ravens are coming off a loss against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football. Lamar Jackson hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in three straight games, his longest drought as an NFL starter. More than that, though, he's just been bad. Off target on an NFL worst 28% of his passes over the last few weeks. Despite the mini bye, he's already missing practice as well this week as well. I mean, he's clearly hurt and dealing with an injury right now. And when Lamar's ineffective, the whole ship crumbles around him. I mean, it's a big reason why the Ravens do struggle in the playoffs, because when he is not the same as he always is, the Ravens kind of crumble around him. So I prefer the under or nothing in this game. I think this is going to be an ugly, classic Ravens-Steelers slugfest, and just kind of the first team to score maybe 20 points wins this game.
Yeah, Henry, earlier on in the show, liked the under in the game as well. Another big divisional matchup, Shane, the Colts and the Jags. Indy is a 1.5-point favorite. They haven't won in Jacksonville since 2014. 10 straight losses. You think that streak continues, or do you like the Colts on Sunday?
I do think that streak continues, actually. I kind of like the Jags a lot as a short home favorite. The Colts have cooled off since that kind of 7-1 start. They were averaging nearly 34 points per game during that stretch. Since then, they're averaging 22 points per game over the last 4 weeks. Daniel Jones apparently playing through an injury right now, so I'm not sure how effective this offense will be. The Jags, you know, have won three in a row. They've held two of their past three opponents to single digits. I just don't think the Jags are getting enough respect in this spot, so I'll take the points with the home underdog.
The Bears look to keep it rolling in Lambeau. The Chicago Bears, the number one seed in the NFC, Sean. This game is for first place in the NFC North and maybe first place in the NFC as well. Packers are a 6.5-point favorite at home. Your thoughts on Bears-Packers on Sunday?
I think the history of these two franchises tells us what to do in this spot. I mean, do I really not think the Packers are going to take care of business in this spot? Yes, the Bears are rolling, but their passing game, as you mentioned in your pick five, has been poor. They rank 31st in completion percentage during this five-game win streak. If they continue to be one-dimensional, I think the Packers are able to keep this offense in check. And at the same time, Jordan Love, he's kind of this hot and cold player, and right now he's really hot. He threw four touchdowns in that Thanksgiving Day game last week. The Packers crushing the Bears' positive momentum just feels kind of like a tradition, like unlike any other. So I'm going to take the Packers and lay the points with them.
Sunday Night Football, we got a good one, probably an elimination game, certainly for the Chiefs if they were to lose, but the Texans can't really afford too many losses at this point either. Kansas City laying 3.5 at home, another low total, about 41.5. Any plays in Texans-Chiefs?
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on the side or total here, but I do like the over on C.J. Stroud's rushing prop. I think it was 12.5 yards last time I checked. The Chiefs, any Chiefs big primetime game, I really look at the rushing props for Patrick Mahomes, and honestly, I still don't mind that, but I feel like Stroud's line seems like a better value right now. KC's pass rush has forced opposing quarterbacks to really take off this year. The Chiefs allow the fourth most rushing attempts and eighth most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks. And before his concussion, Stroud had cleared this rushing line in six of his first eight games. So, I you know, he only ran once last week, but I think with the Chiefs' pass rush in this kind of big momentum game on prime time, I think he'll take off maybe a couple times and clear this low total.
Monday Night Football, Shane, we got the Eagles and the Chargers. No Jalen Carter for Philadelphia. Looks like Justin Herbert's going to be in there. Eagles are laying 2.5. Big game for both teams at 8-4. Eagles got a little help last night with Dallas losing to Detroit. What would you do in that game?
Yeah, honestly, this is the one game I have no opinion of. Can I listen to your earlier segment? I'm with you here. I think I prefer the Chargers at the price, but I don't really trust either team with this spot here. So yeah. I have no opinion on the cider total.
Fair enough. Any other NFL game, Shane, that we did not talk about on that Week 14 slate that you made a bet on, or any player props that you like? Any other thing that you want to share?
Yeah, I do actually like, from a prop perspective, I think I like the Buccaneers passing attack this week against the New Orleans Saints. Baker Mayfield's passing line really low right now, 215.5 yards last time I saw. He's averaging 249 yards per game at home. And at the same time, Emeka Ebuka, receiving line of 51.5 yards, he's still getting plenty of volume, even if he has cooled off a little bit. He has 7 or more targets in 10 games this season. The Saints ranked 22nd in pass defense DVOA. I just think this is a favorable matchup for both Baker Mayfield and Emeka Ebuka. So I like both low totals for them.
Very good. Shane, before we let you go, I know you're keeping tabs on the NBA as well. Good NBA slate tonight. A lot of fun matchups. Anything that you're on? Any sides, any totals, any props that you like?
Yeah, very good matchups. I'll zero in on the Lakers-Celtics matchup. I think the one that jumped out to me the most was Dalton Connect's scoring prop of 7.5 points. I think that's a touch too high. Connect played 3 minutes last night. If LeBron James can go on the second night of a back-to-back here, or even if Marcus Smart plays against his former team, I'd be surprised if Connect plays more than his 15.9 minutes per game. Connect has only cleared this line in 7 of his 18 contests. He's averaging 6.6 points per game. I just feel like he's fallen a little bit out of the rotation when the Lakers are a little bit more closer to full health. They probably will be without Luka tonight, but if they can get a couple of the other guys, I think he'll have a minor role in tonight's game.
Do we got to bet LeBron to pop off after his streak of games ended with him scoring 10-plus tonight? What do you think?
Yeah, I did look at that as well. It's still 18.5, but I do think that's a little bit better. Last night it was 22.5, I believe, is when it closed when I saw it. So, yeah, I think 18.5, I am probably more in favor of actually betting the over on LeBron if he plays. Although, again, given his age, second night of back-to-back, this might be a fade spot as well.
18 years, Sean, scoring 10 or more points in an NBA game. Just unbelievable for LeBron. Great stuff, Shane. Great to talk to you, man. Great to have you back. Web content writer for BetMGM. Give Shane a follow on X at ShaneThurston25. Shane, good luck NFL this weekend and the NBA tonight, my friend. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, good stuff from Shane. Let's tell you about a promo from our friends at BetMGM. Go for the end zone without breaking a sweat with a Pro Football No Sweat token. You'll get your stake back and bonus bets if you don't win. Make it legendary at BetMGM. Download the app today, and please gamble responsibly. All right, guys, time to wrap the show. PJ's plays, my favorite bets for today. We got an unreal college basketball slate coming up tomorrow. Don't have lines out for some of these games, though, so I'll give you some quick thoughts on what I like. My prop lock, though, for the weekend, I love Derrick Henry going over his rushing attempts, over 19.5. If Derrick Henry doesn't get 20 rushing attempts or more, fire John Harbaugh on the spot. It's inexcusable. Feed the king. Dog of the day, I'm going to take Tulane tonight, plus 2.5 against North Texas. I told you guys earlier this week, the line is telling you to bet North Texas. The eye test tells you to bet North Texas. There's something about Tulane, though. When they get in these games, prime time at night, they just find ways to win. So I would only bet Tulane plus 2.5. My favorite bet's going to be the boys from Georgia. Kennesaw State minus 2.5 against Jacksonville State. Love Kennesaw tonight. Unbelievable story. Only lost one conference game this year, and it was to Jacksonville State. They get to go back, play that team. I think they make amends, and they win the game. As for some college hoops tomorrow, I look at Purdue money line against Iowa State. Line's probably going to be about 5.5, 6. Look to maybe put Purdue in a money line parlay. I like Michigan State on the money line at home tomorrow against Duke. I think Indiana could upset Louisville. I'd certainly take them plus the points. I like Tennessee on the money line. Ole Miss, St. John's, I look at the under, and then I look at Auburn plus the points tomorrow against Arizona. Thanks again to Henry and Sean Shane for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.